Brother Kitson is entitled his exhortation, Speaking to God. So we'll turn it over to you, Brother Kitson.
Well, my beloved brothers and sisters and young people, it's nice to be with you here. So will you come with me, please, to Genesis and chapter 2? And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a particular question. How are you and how has your week been, brother, sister? Was it a challenging week? Was it a week that made you feel alone, worried, scared? Were the things that kept you awake at night? Perhaps you were thinking about what might become of the children or the grandchildren. Perhaps because of failing of health. Perhaps troubles which you keep to yourself for various reasons. I don't know. I cannot tell. But the Lord knows. And so perhaps this morning, by way of exhortation, we might find some solace, some peace, in an exhortation that brings us to the table of remembrance. Genesis chapter 2, and in our talk, we will be considering sticking to God. Genesis chapter 2 is a beautiful chapter. You will recall in the early chapters of Genesis, and God saw that it was good, and God saw that it was good. 6 times it says, and God saw that it was good. And the 7th occasion, chapter 2 and verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. We're told in verse 31 of chapter 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Those 6 occasions, good, and the 7th occasion, very good. There it is in chapter 1 and verse 10, chapter 1, verse 4, good. Chapter 1, verse 10, good. Chapter 1, verse 12, it was good. Verse 18, it was good. Verse 21, it was good. Verse 25, it was good. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then chapter 2 of Genesis zooms in, doesn't it? 6 times, good. 7th time, very good. And then chapter 2 zooms in even closer to the creation of man. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he had would call them. Did you notice again how God invited man to play his part in creation? We're told earlier, aren't we? In verse 5 of chapter 2, there was not a man to till the ground. God had made provision, brothers and sisters, so that man would play his part in creation. There was not a man to till the ground, to aerate the soil. And God invited Adam to name the beasts of the field. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Adam, brothers and sisters, was allowed to experience loneliness. Think about that. When all the beasts passed by, male and female, created he him. There was a certain feeling in the mind of Adam. He was incomplete. God had allowed Adam to experience that loneliness. And Adam gave names to the cattle, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, and in the RV margin, it says, and Adam said, this at last. You see, loneliness, brothers and sisters, is a time for learning. To learn our utter dependence upon the Father. And Adam, feeling that loneliness, it is not good that man should be alone. This at last is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The first Adam slept that deep sleep, and from his side would come forth the bride. The last Adam slept the sleep of death, and forthwith that spear thrust into his side, as it were, and out came blood and water through the sleep of death. The bride would be born. And Jesus says that, doesn't he? In effect. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, Jesus was in heaven. Jesus was saying to Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, if you're persecuting the bride, you are persecuting me. This at last is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. There was that oneness there, wasn't there? Why, brothers and sisters, without Adam, there could be no Eve. She was unique. Everything from the dust of the ground, ah, she was unique. She was taken from a living organism. The bride was unique. There was a yearning to be at one. This at last, at long last. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave, that's our word, cleave, stick, adhere, from where we get the English word, αποκτήσουν, to take to. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave, stick. In the age of super glue, and where there is the division, there is much destruction. And so for Adam, brothers and sisters, this sticking, this cleaving, what an interesting word. It can mean quite the opposite, you will know. You can cleave a piece of wood in two, but the same word means quite the opposite, did you notice? You can also stick, cleave together. Together or apart. It's one of those strange English words, meaning quite the opposite. Are you sticking to God, brother, sister? The word cleave there means to cling, to adhere, to take to stick. Come across to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19, this principle was to be outplayed. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, in the mind of God's people. Deuteronomy 11, I'm going in, verse 19. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, that thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine heart and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of the children of the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him. Now, did you notice that natural progression, brothers and sisters? It comes through careful reading. It starts with love. To love the Lord your God, which will propel you to walk in his ways. And after that walking, you will find him, cleave to him, stick to him. If you're not loving, you won't be walking. If you're not walking, you won't find him and stick to him. And so for God's people, brothers and sisters, God should be at the center of their lives. Right at the center. To stick to him above everything else. The similar thing comes out just over a number of pages to the book of Joshua. You will recall Joshua and chapter 22. The principle comes out again. Now I like simple exhortations, Ben. He says, do you know why? Because it helps me to remember. Joshua 22. The 2.5 tribes now have done their best. Joshua 22 and verse 5. And so before they go back to the east of Jordan, look at the word of exhortation. Verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. You have kept, went, gone over Jordan and fought with the enemy to help your brethren. Now go back and take your inheritance. Verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Here it comes again. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, and to keep, love, walk, keep, that's three, his commandments, and to cleave forth unto him, and to serve him, five, with all your heart, six, and with all your soul, seven. Before it was to love, to walk, and to cleave, or to stick. Now, it's as if the writer, guided by the Spirit, wants you to get as closer, as close can be. Notice that natural progression to love, to walk, to keep, to cleave. Oh, after sticking to God, there has to be a serving with all your heart and with all your soul. Seven complete things to bring us to the Father. That's what God's people ought to have done, brothers and sisters. In all their times of trial, in all the times of difficulty, to stick to him. Turn over your page to chapter 23 and verse 8. But they clave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. It is a consistent thing. In times of trial, we must stick to God, brothers and sisters. Come across, please, to Jeremiah chapter 13. Because in Jeremiah chapter 13, we have here a very important principle that comes out. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 1, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle which thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. And you can see Jeremiah, brothers and sisters, traveling up to Euphrates with this piece of material, this white piece of material, I'm going to suggest, digging a hole and burying it. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went back to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. You can see him looking around for the spot, can't you? And he remembers where it may be, marked with a stone. I don't know. And he digs it up. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. He holds this piece of material up to the light, and it was rotten through and through. It was dirty. It was marred. It was rotting away. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I cause to cleave, stick, adhere unto me, the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a glory. But they would not hear. Notice verse 10. They were loving, all right. They were walking, all right, in their imaginations. They were serving, all right, verse 10. Remember those seven words? To love, to walk, to serve, to cleave with all your heart, with all your soul. We can be sticking, brothers and sisters. or we are not sticking to the things of God. Come across to Psalm 119. So what about then when there are problems in the home? Problems of failing health. Challenges within the ecclesia. Challenges at work. Or maybe even the lack of work. The stresses and strains that seem to just find us and stick to us. How do we cope then, brother? How is our sticking? How is our stickability in the things of God then? Psalm 119, perhaps we can take some comfort in this. Psalm 119, which commentators tell us, some say that this was a psalm that David wrote whilst he was on the run from Saul. Others suggest it might have been written by Moses, that this is not the time or place. Verse 25 of Psalm 119. And here is a man who is in the depths of despair. My soul cleaveth, sticketh unto the dust. It's synonymous with death, isn't it? Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You can't get any lower. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And you will probably know the 10 words that come throughout the Psalm 119, at least one of them in each verse: word, saying, testimonies, way, judgment, precepts, commandments, law, statutes, nine. In every verse in Psalm 119, bar one or two. I want us to understand the feelings of this man, whoever he is. He's in the depth of despair. I have no doubt we have all felt like that. When things are getting from bad to worse. And we stay awake at night. And there are tears. But no one knows. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. My soul droppeth for heaviness. Remove from me the way of lying. Verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Verse 1, my soul sticks to the dust. Oh, but I'm going to stick to your word, your testimonies. I remember many years ago, brothers and sisters, my eldest son now, he's 24. I remember when he was about 6 years old, we were going on a family walk somewhere. And he was skipping along ahead of us. And then there was a dog coming nearer and nearer. And so he retreated and came back to my side. And then he held my hand. And as the dog got nearer and nearer, the hold on my hand, his grip got tighter and tighter. You could actually measure it. The nearer the dog got, the stronger, the tighter the hold. And as the dog got to our side, he was holding on to my hand and then tucking himself up right there under my thigh. That's what we should do. brother, sister, the greater the problem, the tighter the grip, the greater the challenge, the stronger the hold, the greater the trial, the stronger the resolve to hold on to the Lord and never let go. And when the danger had passed, he would release slowly and go on his way, always being in the Father's gaze. You understand. For us, brothers and sisters, this psalmist reminds us that when we are in the depth of despair, we must hold on still and never let go. Notice that. My soul melteth for heaviness. Verse 33, think of the parable of the prodigal son. Verse 34, give me, Father, the inheritance. He comes back. Verse 35, make me one of your hired servants. You can read all about it in Luke chapter 15. But we won't go there now. But consider verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Whatever it could be, we must hold on, brother, sister, to tuck ourselves up right by the Father, to hold on. My soul melteth for heaviness. Matthew 26. Why, it's the words of the Lord, isn't it? Matthew 26. If there was ever a verse to apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ, surely, brothers and sisters, it was this one. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. My soul melteth for heaviness. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. My soul cleaveth to the dust, the psalmist said, didn't he? For the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, he was to hold on. Come across, please, brothers and sisters, to Luke chapter 22. Luke is absolutely unique in this. It is the only gospel record that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying whilst he came out of the water with his baptism. The only gospel writer that tells us that Jesus was praying whilst he was transfigured. The only gospel writer that tells us that Jesus spoke with an angel in the garden. Luke chapter 22, in a time where he needs to hold on, brothers and sisters, to hold on. Luke chapter 22, and it came at verse 39, and it came to pass that as he was wont to the mount, verse 40, he prays, 41. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let thine be done. Lord, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He held on more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And so here it is, verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Notice that, brothers and sisters. It's only when he gives it to prayer to the Father, only when he says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You have to give it to prayer, sister. You have to give it to prayer, brother. Whatever it is. It is only when you give it over to the Father. It is only when the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, gave that problem to the Father. It is then when God sends an angel, not to take the problem away, but to strengthen him through it. That problem might not be taken away, but your brothers and sisters will be praying for you that your faith fail not, as the Lord prayed for Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And the Lord, brothers and sisters, was strengthened by the angel. Possibly Gabriel. Well, after all, his name means strong one of God. Strengthened to continue. I have stuck to it. That's the lesson for us, brothers and sisters. My last reference, James, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, pretense. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. For God's people, brothers and sisters. And again, in James 4, verse 8, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto thee. And my last reference is to be found in Acts of the Apostles and chapter 11. And verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, persistent heed, diligent effort, they would cleave unto the Lord. So he sees the brothers and sisters in all their plight, in all their challenges, in all their difficulties. And he exhorted them all that they would cleave unto the Lord. What did he pull from the pages of scripture? Did he start as we started with, looking at the relationship with Adam and Eve, between Christ and the bride? Did he walk them through the principles of God's people sticking to him? Did he look at the psalmist? To hold on. He, with purpose of heart, to cleave to the Lord, to stick with him every step of the way, brothers and sisters. Every step of the way. Let me read this final verse for you. In the context of King Asa. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself, Asa, strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Margin, strongly to hold with them. God is holding with you. You won't let go of him. strongly to hold with them whose hearts are toward him. May it be, my beloved brothers and sisters, that when we partake of the emblem shortly, how thankful are we that the last Adam would so desire to cleave to the bride, even the ecclesia. For it was not good that man should be alone. And in that last day, perhaps we'll hear those words uttered again. This, at last, is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, let's continue to cleave and to stick and to hold on for dear life until he comes. Amen.